think that's working.
Okay. I call this meeting of the Housing Planning and Operations Committee to order on Tuesday, August 24th, allegedly at 2 o'clock, but it's really 2:18. I note the presence of the quorum and the presence of legislators Nona, Rogowski, Burton, Williams, Jenkins in the hall, and Myers has been seen recently, so she'll be here. We have an agenda which we're trying to squeeze 5 pounds in a 3-pound bag. This is going to be tough. I do not wish to interfere with Legislator Williams' meeting at 3 o'clock, so I'm going to ask you the following question. Would it be all right with you if we had Norma speak to us for 15 minutes on the points that she was asked to do, and then go on to the to John, to your rundown of the IP?
Excuse me, she has been told that she cannot be here during that discussion and that she's to come at 2:30.
For which?
For the housing projects. That's the second part.
Oh, she's going to come for the housing projects?
Yeah.
So do
so we'll just start with John?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
What John? Am I supposed to do?
Forget everything I just said. Forget everything I just said.
You're going to do the implementation plan.
Lead us in prayer on the subject of the implementation plan, particularly from what you've gleaned over the last several weeks, including your conversations with various people.
Yeah, you have a folder there with all the appendices and a summary.
Okay, note the arrival of Legislator Myers for real and volunteer member Nunziata.
I don't think I was told that it was my job at this meeting to take us through the implementation plan. I will try
it's
to
not,
do
no,
that.
It's not.
No, nor is it your job. But there's a lot of updating the members need to get.
Weren't we supposed to do with Mary?
Mary blows off, she said.
No, she's on vacation this week. No, we're going to have the discussion about the housing project at 1:30. 2:30. But John.
Yeah, John, go ahead. Just tell us what you've leaned. Bring us up to date as far as what you know as far as the implementation plan.
I've read the implementation.
Chairman Jenkins.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I
memorized it.
just really quickly, while we certainly appreciate and understand any of the comments that John Nona would be making about the IP, I think that you were reserving that discussion for next week when Mary Mann is going to be back, right, from vacation. But Mr. Nona met with the monitor, and that was the status that I thought you were getting.
Yeah.
Okay, Johnny, would you be comfortable discussing your exchanges with the monitor?
The one that we went down to meet with him, because that's something.
In the city? The other
whatever
day?
I mean, that precedes the submission of this latest plan. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not about this plan. He hadn't seen it. We discussed the letter that he sent regarding the source of income veto. He had not gotten a response to that yet, so we couldn't discuss the response. We talked about his view that there needs to be a tone set at the top. That was, I think, other than the source of income legislation that was vetoed, the primary focus of the discussion was, what needs to be done at the top and what needs to be done to bring sufficient resources to bear on the county in getting the settlement done. I think we all agreed that it was doable and it could be done, and that the problem seems to be getting projects moving to the pipeline, and there needs to be some leadership at the county level, some more resources at the county level devoted toward the, toward getting this done. And I think we also discussed, his comments regarding, the withholding of funds from municipalities. And frankly, I mean, I think, I know I made this comment, and I don't know if anybody else agreed or joined, but so far, we haven't had municipalities saying no to projects. In fact, we've had municipalities indicating they want to go forward with projects and not getting sufficient guidance from the county as to how to go forward with them and helping them move the project along. And similarly, the same comment, has come to us from developers. So the issue is not that there aren't developers out there that want to do this. The issue is that not municipalities. They might be in the future, but right now there are municipalities who are coming forward that want to do this, And the problem is moving it along. And in looking through the implementation plan, I found this chart, which is supposed to be the housing development process. And frankly, this is like a Rubik's Cube. And I don't know how anybody could get anything done.
Is that
it's not in this plan, that chart.
Where did you find that?
It's attached to one of the implementation plans.
What's the date?
August 2009, but it's Appendix E21. It's Appendix E21. Are you sure it's not still part of it? I thought it was.
No, it's not.
Well,
E21
is at the end there.
Yeah. I don't got E21.
No. What? You don't
I don't
have
got E21.
Well, we don't know. Wait, here's E2I. Could it be?
Yes, that could be it.
Here's flowchart.
Yeah,
it is.
It's here.
E2I.
E2I. Right. This is a big version of it.
We
blew it up because it's very hard to read. Thanks to Betsy.
This is
Betsy,
good for
Betsy
eye
Desoy,
tests.
What the?
Blew
this
up.
Is how you test whether your prescription is
and
correct.
Frankly, I mean, maybe Al, who's a guy I admire, who's very intelligent, knows the development. Maybe you could figure that how this is supposed to work. But if this is the way we're going to implement this housing settlement, God help us. Because this is like, I mean, this is a flow
this
chart
is crazy.
That, I don't know, it's a flow chart from hell, I don't know. But anyway, but the other point, I just make couple of other points about the implementation plan. Again, the issue raised by the, and this is an issue I did talk to the monitor about. The monitor raises an issue about the needs to be more expertise, and this is, I think, at page 3.
It is.
I didn't see my name.
Well, you're not on here?
No, page 3. I was looking at page 3 when you were talking to the experts.
You're in there, Marty. You are in there.
I was looking at my name.
You want to hold off
it.
On that so we can...
Sorry. I thought it was not an English word.
The monitor asked the... In his letter, they encourage the county to consult outside experts in the field of housing finance, zoning, and marketing and look for guidance from previous examples. And, that's an issue we've raised. What expertise is being brought to get this done? And if you look at the second paragraph under the summary of action that the county has taken, it says, this is page 3 of the implementation, the county executive's office and the board of legislators has among its membership expertise in real estate. That's you.
There's no name.
Real estate management. Maybe that's you. I don't know. Maybe it's other people. Financial planning management, Mr. Kaplowitz. Urban planning, law, that's at least 4 of us, 5 of us. Housing finance, municipal land use regulation, advertising communications, and a past president of the Yonkers NAACP, who's sitting
over there.
Have any of us been consulted prior to the submission of any implementation plan to draw on our expertise? Answer, no. So, I have a problem with the accuracy of the representations being made. The other issue I'd like to raise is there's a part here about the section here about the model ordinance. And the monitor made a comment. The first model ordinance had a preference for local residents and workforce residents. And that's an issue that we were talking about because we think that municipalities would be much more willing to buy into this if they were willing to, had some ability to help their own local workforce. And so the monitor said, you can't just have a residency preference, but you can advance fair and affordable housing goals if you're benefiting minorities through workforce housing. So we talked to him about, maybe what the county needs to do is do a demographic check. Maybe this data is already out there. Look at the demographics in each eligible municipality. Look at the population of people that work in the municipality that are African American and Hispanic. And if they're a reasonable number, then create a workforce preference, because then you're addressing people that work in the community that might want to live there, which frankly makes a lot of sense, because we all believe, rightly or wrongly, I know Mr. Garayan may disagree with us, that You know, people are unlikely to want to move from neighborhoods where they don't know anybody in the Bronx up to Bedford. But if they work in Bedford and take the bus there for an hour and a half every day from Yonkers, maybe they will move to Bedford. And maybe those are the people that can really benefit, who would work in a community and would like to live there and can't afford to live there. And the county has made no effort to try to come up with some way to deal with that issue, which would help municipalities be more willing, you know, those that might be reluctant, to go forward with projects, and at the same time fulfill the settlement goals of fair and affordable housing. So, you know, that's another issue with this implementation plan, that they have made no effort to try to deal with that local ordinance provision, that it's doable if you do some work and check the demographics.
Mr. Chairman, on that point?
I mean, I agree with what you're saying, it's fine, but not to speak for the administration, but if you look at several of us, I think you were one of them, raised questions while we debated this, that that would be a good thing in the stipulation, but it's not there. In fact, they made it very clear to us that you really can't, no workforce preferences, no residential, you know, it's you know, go to Newark and go to, you know, so you're right, that would have been a good way to do it. One of the reasons I have problems with it is that it's not there. So it's the same administration, you didn't put those things in there. They're saying, well, if you read this, they would have gotten their plan bounced again.
No, the monitor told them they could do it. In his letter, he said you could do it if you focus on those kinds of issues.
It's
in his letter. And
well,
it's just because
it in the stipulation
requires marketing. Stipulation requires marketing.
We raised several of us.
But we all know.
They said, no, it's not in there. That's not a preference.
You have to gear it toward the goal.
All I'm saying is, I don't know.
And the monitor
to blame the administration for doing something where if they did do it, clearly they could have been open to, well, where'd you get that from? It's not in the stipulation. I'm just saying.
The answer is
they
get it from
the
letter that the
monitor is, what else monitor? There's a stipulation.
No.
The monitor can be replaced. The stipulation.
Yeah, but the judge.
Guys, it seems to me that this is something the monitor has apparently created for us that we ought to take advantage of. And we ought to be sure that the administration is aware that we're aware of this and we want to see it done. And I think that'll pretty much put that one to bed.
Okay.
Because we need to be sure of that. Because John's raised a point that my guess is that they have not even thought of. And that's fine. If we make this any kind of collaborative effort, then this is what collaboration means. So what other points have you drilled out of this whole mess?
There's really not a lot of other stuff, but let me just get one thing here. I mean, another thought I have, this is again trying to think of how this goal can be accomplished. This has not been raised before, but I'd like to throw this out as something to talk about. You know, a lot of municipalities do have fair and affordable housing. You know what it is? It's illegal apartments. It's substandard, illegal apartments that owners of homes have created with single-family homes into three and four apartments. I've seen people living in garages that are converted to apartments.
Illegal twos, illegal threes, the whole thing.
If you could say, look, and then mostly a lot of those people living in those apartments are minorities. And if we could say, look, you've already got this. Let's make this legal. Let's make them real affordable housing units. And then you get them on the tax rolls as well.
Right. Legislator Harkman and I have been working on a project to use the concept of accessory apartments,
mm-hmm.
Which has been in place in a lot of places, Ossining for almost 10 years now, for example, to legalize what are illegal by zoning law, certain kinds of apartments, which if brought up to code, would constitute new units. The issue is going to be, how do you get them counted under the rules? For example, how do you get an owner of a single family house who could conceivably take a garage apartment which he has developed and get him to commit to a 50-year term of affordability?
Yeah, you know what the problem with that is? I just say that I had in Pleasantville, mm-hmm. we adopted accessory apartment ordinance, and we had an amnesty period. The people have come forward mm-hmm. and say, okay, I've got an illegal apartment, but I'm going to convert, and very few people are willing to do that.
Right.
I've
talked to my building inspector in Ossining. He has 43 in the unincorporated area of Ossining, which is one of the stipulation communities. The issue that we seem to have there, and they were all converted, this has all been cleaned up. Now, the issue is very much whether or not the owners would see it in their best interest to make these apartments affordable under statute that we would require for 50 years. Pete's insight here is to make a financial incentive. If it costs us $60,000 to contribute to building an affordable unit, let's take half of that and say put 50% of it up front and then pay the balance out over a period of time to give the owner an incentive to sign on the dotted line for this. Now, I'm not saying that that will happen. I'm not sure it will work, but I don't think it's something that we should just dismiss out of hand. So this is what Pete and I are working on to come up with some legislation that we may be able to make this work. Pete feels that it actually does work over on his side of the county. I think it's possible that it would work in Austin. As I said, we have this known inventory of property.
Depends on how you define accessory.
Precisely. But that's the whole thing of this. But if you could then do that, there would be the question would then be at least halfway there, because depending on who's living there, and our example in Austin is that generally they're either relatives or friends or friends of friends. They've never really been marketed. They've been just brought forward. So we'd have to deal with that part of it. But it's not uncreative, and it may conceivably work. So the accessory apartment thing, I think, is something we really want to look at. Marty?
Yeah, I mean, well, to follow up just on that, many of you may or may not know the housing project in West Harrison back in 1991 by Andrew Cuomo. So he had really helped, I think it was exactly that. Market-based townhouse. You had to go out, you had to apply for it, but there was an accessory apartment to it, and that second unit was intended to help pay for the mortgage. I mean, it was a very nice model. Didn't go over well with the community, and when the town board changed hands, you know, they threw it out. Never to be some Democrats said, let's do it. Never happened. But that model, to your point, of market-based regular unit with the accessory rental made a lot of sense. I voted for it. It goes back to town by, you know, here we're saying again, the county. How do we make that? What incentives we have to go to any municipality and say, gee, that was, you know, Cuomo had a nice model there.
Town of Newcastle did 52 units in exactly that form, 52 mm-hmm. units with an accessory apartment, which could be rented to defray the cost of doing that. The problem in our context was that the marketing was left to the owner. Al, you're looking like you actually have something to say.
Well, no, I appreciate you calling me. I was waiting until the discussion was certainly deferring to the legislators on this. A couple of things, if I may, and I'm not being facetious on this. As horrific as this looks, and I was just doing my best with my trifocals to read the little boxes. As horrific as this looks, this is what an average builder, developer, contractor, home builder has to go through to build in New York State and Westchester County. Okay, this is not an exaggeration. I mean, you know, now the thing is, when you run the gauntlet, then I see down here, and I think it makes sense, you know, when they've got a lot of these things in place, then at some point you meet with the county and you know, and maybe you go on from there. But there's a lot you got to go through. This is really not an exaggeration. This is it. Now,
Albert, no, only from here on up, the bottom half would develop.
The dark, right?
Yeah,
the dark. No, I understand that. So the thing is, now I don't know. I'm not being a betting man, but I would wager that the process is half as long, and a quarter as complicated, let's say, in Connecticut. I don't know what that process is. Certainly their environmental protection is no less ardent or thorough as it might be here in the state of New York. But I think this tells you something, and it's not an exaggeration. Secondly, on the I was reading the agendas on some of the past meetings, and I would be very interested in, if I may, looking at this accessory apartment legislation you have, because I think it's something that the BRI would be happy to, again, you know, I have to see it, but I think we'd be happy to support you on this, and certainly anything we can do to help get those units possibly towards that goal, that 700 unit, 750 unit goal. on the affordable housing settlement. So that sounds very, very interesting. I would like to have a copy of that.
When we've got it in a little bit firmer form, I'd be delighted to send it to you.
Yeah, because I would really like to help and support that.
Yep.
So anyway, it's just, you know, and also accessory apartments, illegal accessory apartments, you know, they compete with our home builders. Mm-hmm. You know, a home builder builds a nice single family home or a two family home. There it is. It's on the market. It has a price. It has a certain tax. You know, and how do you compete with people who would ordinarily buy that or be interested in even in renting that when they've got a whole underground economy of accessory apartments that they could choose from.
Substandard and it's dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Point well taken. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Anything else, John? Because I think this has been already helpful.
Marty, the monitor wasn't that clear, but he did say, as currently worded, the workforce preferences in the model would not affirmably further fair housing. It's conceivable that workforce preferences could further the goals of the stipulation. This is likely under limited circumstances where the workforce is more diverse than the existing resident population. Yeah, so we have to try those.
I'd
support it.
So that's a second nugget that we've got, right, Barbara? Okay. What else?
You've run
aground, as it were.
I mean, it's a minor thing, but you know, those are the major.
Okay. Well, that's important. All right. Anybody else have anything? Let me tell you what we're looking at in the forthcoming meetings. Next Monday, August 30th, the first meeting of the day will be held with legislation at 1:30, where we will discuss nothing of the subject at hand here, but with the Board of Elections Commissioners to discuss the proposed legislation extending their terms. Then at 3 o'clock on the same day, Mary Mann will be here. And we will be discussing the implementation plan as submitted on the 9th of August. Next week. Next
Tuesday.
Environment's not meeting. Next Tuesday or Monday?
Did you say Monday?
Monday.
Yeah.
Sorry. Environment's not going to meet.
No, they have ceded their time to us, and that's very helpful. Then on the 14th of September, we have requested the consultant, the WFN consultant from Georgia, to appear. I am loath to send an interstate subpoena. and what?
It's the 14th
of September. But as it stands now, we have not heard back from the administration that they will in fact supply this individual. But we've given them enough time that there's at least a limited excuse range for not doing it. That will be therefore, I think, very important, and I hope everybody will make the time. Let's see, we have a request for a receive and file, item 3110, if you look at your agenda.
Norma is coming.
Yes.
Norma is sitting on the hallway. She's waiting for which call. She's waiting for which call.
I don't see it. Maybe in a package, I don't see it. But if I recall, we passed back in December when we did this, a local law, I guess an act, that kind of created a role for ourselves, the board, in this whole process.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, I don't recall the details, it wasn't that crazy bad, but we passed it. So the question is, where are we? So the point to the administration, if we have a law that we pass saying, giving us a certain role.
Giving us a certain role.
What's the status of that? Where can someone say, hey, you passed the law last December, an act, that said you were going to get in there, roll up your sleeves. And a lot of it had to do by working with the administration, if I recall. But
actually,
I just want to tell you, where are we on that, implementing that act?
Well, we have asked to participate in, you know,
numerous occasions.
And then we get the implementation plan after it's submitted.
Well, we need to read that act. I don't recall the language, but are we being somewhat, are we or not being deficient in something that we should be doing that we said
actually,
to ourselves we were going to do?
Yeah, I am sort of like Mike Kaplowitz, I guess, who admitted this morning that he's been perhaps overly polite. I've had two situations where the chief of staff has said, well, we can meet this time, but that time, but we can't meet when you want to, and when people couldn't come, Judy couldn't come, or Mike, or John couldn't come, or Pete couldn't come. And then so all of a sudden, it was announced that George is headed for vacation, and the only time would be 2 o'clock on Thursday. And So instead of just putting our foot down and saying you're going to do this or we'll throw a subpoena at you, we haven't.
Well, before I get the subpoenas, I'm just saying.
We're not going to do subpoenas.
And I'm saying we passed an act. Right. And we shouldn't have passed it.
Well,
if we passed it, I don't know. Remember what it says, but it says we were going to do certain things. Play a certain role. And again, if we're just
when you expect cooperation and you don't get it, then there becomes the next question of what do you do about it?
Okay,
you
can
roll on your back and kick your legs and stop and scream, or you can.
All right, so let me raise the short answer is not.
Okay,
let me raise a substantive question then, the issue. Part of what we can do, a certain number of units can be purchased in the open market, already built,
yes,
sitting there. Now, with my real estate background, I could say, prices are down. So the question is, to ask people at the end of the table, what has the county done in canvassing in those communities that are on the list? There may be, whether they may be multifamily, condos or co-ops or condos, or there could be smaller homes out on the market for 200, 300.
7 days and 15 minutes from now, we're going to start a discussion with Mary Ann, and that could
be the question.
Or for foreclosure, I'm saying there's a whole bunch, in this market, which we didn't even know even a year ago.
Right.
If we could buy 5 units somewhere.
Yep. I think this is a matter of strategy that the IP is designed to deal with.
Well, we can buy a certain number of those. Can be.
Yeah. Let's just log this as a question because I think it's an absolutely fundamental question.
Okay. But that'd be right to get us out of the gate.
Right.
They're already built there.
Right.
It's a good.
Hi, Mary. Marty has a question. That sort of thing.
They say in the real estate you can buy it for less than you can replace. For less cost than replacement cost.
Happens not infrequently. Okay. Let's summon Norman.
Wait a second. Norman. No, she can't come in until George comes in.
Oh, George wants to come with her?
That's what she was waiting outside for.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay. Listen. Wait, Joe. The act is Act Number 155-209.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it says the implementation of the stipulation and order shall be governed by the following procedures in accordance with the law. The Westchester County Board of Legislators will participate directly in the development of the implementation plan to effectuate the terms and conditions required by the stipulation order. The plan shall be filed with the clerk of the Westchester County Board of Legislators. That hasn't been done for the 3 times that we have it, and we have not directly participated. That's what the act says. It's not up to us to do that. So the question for Bob Meehan when he was here, right, was when he was asking about substituting counsel, etc., and we brought this act to his attention.
We had a subcommittee, something that was going to,
We had a subcommittee that did that, but it got folded into housing for just a good reason, just to make sure again that housing is housing, right? We should be getting to the place that this is fair and affordable housing, and the development of that is the case, which is why it's in the committee now. But that first portion of the act on the process, which was passed unanimously, by the way, right?
Well, I voted for it in the spirit, but language like that, it told me because we're passing. How do you implement that? We're going to develop, but what can we do? So we weren't involved. What did that mean? So when we write pass an act, and I voted for it because I want to go, but we pass an act, we have to figure out how we're going to get it implemented. How
we get that implemented is by what the chairman Burroughs is Burton is doing right now is by bringing people to the end of the table and saying, okay, here's how to do that and getting people
involved. We will play a role. Great.
We passed that said that we will participate directly in the development because we were concerned that during the process we felt we were not right. So we created a law that survived, it survives terms. The resolution actually dies at the end of the term, but
there's
an act, and it was the law to do that, and it hasn't been implemented. It would be up to our law department, to the county attorney, to make sure that the law is being enforced, right? So
maybe,
we should ask
we need maybe we need to figure out and raise a subcommittee because 17 legislators aren't going to sit around and actively participate.
That's why it's in this committee.
That's why we have a committee.
So that's why I'm saying this committee or something.
These two or three
legislators, you're go to the next meeting.
It's in this committee, right?
Maybe.
It's in this committee, and it was and multiple reasons for that because there was a concern that the subcommittee that we had initially did not include members from both sides of the aisle. So it goes back to the committee that has members of both sides of the aisle. Whether they show up or not is a different story. And being, yes, that whether they come to the meeting or not is up to them. But that should happen. Mr. Chairman, to Mr. Rogowski's point, what I think that should happen is that the committee should send a note, a memo to the county attorney to have this particular portion dealt with.
That says
to the case. Now, the in fairness, the administration says that they've tried to set up meetings with the committee, but that committee meeting is actually happening part of today and next week. So I think from that part would be okay, but the law was not filed with the clerk of the board as required by the act. The implementation plan was not filed at the clerk of the board as it should have been. All right, and it didn't say final. It said whatever things we're sending out, it needed to come through, and that would also give that attention to Mr. Rogowski's point that there hasn't been the level of participation by the board that's necessary, and then to the point that Mr. Nona made. A reference in the implementation plan about all the great expertise that sits around the table that could be helpful in trying to effectuate a plan that actually would, you know, be able to be approved by the monitor and has not been able to be used. So, Mr. Chairman, through you, what I would suggest respectfully is that we send a note to the county attorney, to the law department, requesting that the implementation plan be filed as appropriate with the clerk of the board. And then we'll go from there. Right. And then have them come in.
Okay. Are we in pursuit of Nora? Do we know where she is?
They're waiting for Mr. Oros, and I think I hear.
Oh, I think she's coming now.
See, I wonder if the people in illegal apartments are even counted in the census.
Yes,
they're very often not.
No, they probably don't want
to. Afraid to.
George, if you and Nora would join us at the table,
you know,
please.
That's
I know
it. It's not even counted.
Actually, my wife was very, very heavily involved with that with Senator Oppenheimer. We did a particularly aggressive effort in Austin to get that done.
And in illegal apartments.
Yes, and the census office was very willing to do that. They have a whole plan for that. The problem is somebody's got to say, here's the unit over there. And very often they get mail.
And then if they don't respond?
Well, and that's the problem. Yeah. It's out, you know, how
I know there's an outreach.
They
but
four people came into my house because at least according to them, I have a second apartment. Four times they've come to my house, and I can't get them to take it off. It's just the way it is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now that we have Deputy Commissioner and Mr. Oros at the table, just a quick question before you get to the purpose of this, of the whole plan.
Right.
It's just a question, not on the submission of the implementation plan,
right.
But on the flow chart that's included in it. Deputy Commissioner, you have given us prior a flow chart that showed this. People looked at this and said, "Oh, right." But I recall us getting that flow chart as part of our documentation.
Sure.
But maybe not to this level of depth. All right, you know, maybe yes, no, but the question
is... There are different processes that we have put in flowcharts before, but this is really lays it all out in terms of all the different steps to make sure that the general public really has a better understanding of what's required to take a project from idea and identification of land to completion.
I got you. All right, so I mean, maybe again, Mr. Chairman, do you that we can have that... I think that was the piece was when the county got involved at it that was a segmented piece of this whole puzzle. So maybe if we could get the enlarged version, because, you know, I'm getting old, and Mr. Doros, I'm probably going to have to get glasses too, because I can't read this crap. I just can't see it.
So. All right,
thank you, Mr. Chip.
Mr. Doros, Mr. Donovan, thank you very much for appearing. We are unfortunately under some time constraint with a succeeding meeting
Mr.
here.
Mr. Doros is supposed to be at the next
and
meeting.
So we'll lock the door and keep George here, but we'll let Norma out. We're going to try to do what we need to do in the next 20 minutes. So if you keep that in mind, I'd appreciate it. Mr. Drummond, we asked both of you here to come and review the update of the January 25th report. And if you would give us a the update. We have the January. You should all have the black and white version of the January 25th report in your package, and we have the colorized chart for the August 24th report. Speak to us.
We have color-coded on here for you the projects by the category in which they might potentially fall in. White means that they would not be eligible under the settlement. Green means they are in an eligible community, but because they had approvals in place, that they do not count toward the settlement. Blue are projects that could potentially, if they progress to completion or progress to the point of getting building permits, they would count toward the fair and affordable units that were required to build under the settlement agreement. So you have before you, based on legislative districts, that's how we've laid it out for you in the past. Many of these, actually I think all of these projects you've seen before, all we've done is given you an update. We took out any projects that were previously listed as inactive and that have not come back to life. We've removed those from that January 25th list. But otherwise, we've just updated the status. Several of them, good news, several of them have started construction since we last met. You know, Yonkers, we had a groundbreaking in July, probably one of the hottest days of the year we were up out there. But, you know, the groundbreaking, the construction has started on a number of these projects. We just opened the Fox Island townhouses at the beginning of this month, the 35 townhouses along 95. So those homeowners have now started closing on their units and have started moving in. Those closings probably should be completed by the beginning of October. On September 22nd, we had a ribbon cutting for the River Point, the Drum Hill 2 project, rental project of 43 units up in the city of Peekskill. So if anybody is available to join us that day for the ribbon cutting. But again, that's another project that's been on your list for a while now, and now has worked its way through construction and is now starting to identify the occupants of the units. So
have you sent an invitation or a notice out on that?
I believe the developer has sent them out.
Okay, I just said it hasn't made my schedule yet.
I wanted to say they were just going out in the last week. So,
Mr. Chairman, are voting registration forms handing out the closings in Fox Island?
Morty?
Wow.
Moving right along, Mr. Trump.
I've advised all my local
governors. As well as
the
material on how to vote in Portchester.
I think you want to add, too, Norma, that the Edgar Place project, Rye Cottage, townhomes, is that going to be down for the September 7th agenda?
Yes, the legislation is being finalized right now, and our expectation is that it will be introduced on September 7th. Our hope is your committee will consider it on the 14th so that we can take full action, the board can take full action on the 20th. It has been to planning
what action,
board.
What action do we need to take?
14th. Of to approve some of the $51.6 million to go toward this project.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
That's when we have the implementation.
Is it on this list already?
Edgar Place has been on your list.
I didn't look. I heard Mr. Oro say we should add that to the list.
No, I meant to just note it's on the list. Just note that the it's going one more step to fruition with the legislation coming to the board at your September 7th.
I'm hearing a very, very serious conflict on the 14th.
Okay.
You need this on the 21st?
There is no timeline. There's no time deadline for this one. This is our first.
We will move it expeditiously, but the 14th is not going to work. Okay, fine. Mr. Jenkins, do you have anything else?
The second one, Mr. Oros, is it that you said there should be two added to the list?
Did I?
I heard you say there should be a couple added to the list.
I didn't want to add any to the list. I just said that. not that I don't want to. It's just that there aren't any to add to the list at this point in time. I think all I wanted to point out is that Edgar Place was that much further along.
All right.
And other than that, beautiful.
I believe it is actually in County Legislative District 7.
Okay, so the Moonies.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where you go?
If I may correct
it's the city of Ron.
Should be. We've told the monitor it is.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Because
Edgar Place
there wasn't a project here.
Is in Portchester. There's a paper street that the city demanded, but it still has that address. So we have not that
on nature. That's in Portchester, isn't it?
No, it is in.
We have the voter registration.
We went through this.
The entrance and one parking space are in Portchester.
Because the monitor was concerned that these children, if there were children living here, that they would not be attending the Rye City schools. And it is supposed to be in Rye City.
It is in Rye City, very definitely.
So they will be going to the Rye City schools.
They will be going to the Rye City schools, and that puts it in County Legislative District 7.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple questions on the list as well. Does this list include the programs that are currently scheduled for reprogramming right now?
What's reprogramming?
Yeah, what do you...
There was
What's
a setup. There was a set of...
You mean the rescission?
The modifications that...
No, those projects have been inactive long enough that
they have not come off this list.
But they haven't been...
I don't think legislatively...
That's correct.
Anything's been done to defund them or whatever you want to call it.
To reclassify it. So Mr. Chairman...
Take the money from.
So, Mr. Chairman, the point that I'm raising is that should be on the list, because that would impact the bottom line dollar amounts that are in...
No? So this is just a total for the projects that are listed here. If you're looking for the overall accounting, the fact sheets that usually come with legislation should provide that.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, we really have used this sheet for, and it's been very helpful for us, and I know that we've discussed this with the administration as well, having that the full map of projects as they were coming through, right? But when they're pre-application, mm-hmm. where they're ready to go or not, or if they're funded and they're inactive, because now you can see the whole lay of the land as far as dollars are concerned, and how those might get reprogrammed. So, because they haven't been decommissioned, reallocated, or whatever at this point in time, that would be a preference to have that on this list, because that would give us the complete picture.
Norman, we do not have here proposals that have been just shot by the administration at this point. What's your condition for putting them on the list?
What do you mean shot?
That will be part of the... What are you talking about? Any project?
Good idea.
Projects that
if
would
we had
qualify?
A meeting with them?
Yeah. Well, for example, there's a project in Austin to take a former manse of a Presbyterian church and turn that into an SRO. That's a good idea, and that's, as far as I know, as far as it's going.
Well, is that pre-application?
Well,
I'm not sure how you describe it.
I don't want to speak for Norma, but I think that in order not to mislead you or the public, I think you got to be careful. You know, people talk a lot about a lot of ideas, and you know, you don't want to come out with a list and say, oh, look at this, we've got 45 projects, and really... There's only, you know, a dozen.
Well, I'm inclined to agree, and that's why I'm asking the question.
But in terms of now, the difference, though, is under the settlement, which you're going to get briefed on when Mary gets back. The difference there is we're obligated to reach out, and we're obligated to try to meet with municipalities, meet with developers to help find places to put this housing. And so those meetings we do categorize, and again, some of them may... a year down the road work out, and some of them may be, you know, dry wells that we're drilling. But that's a different, I think, than this particular one. So this has got a mixture of that in here, but this has got everything in it. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
On this idea of the outreach and reaching out, that's why I have a problem with this flowchart, because it shows the county getting involved after the developer has submitted site plan application and...
Which
flowchart
is that?
The flowchart.
The one that's so difficult to read.
And it seems to me the county, you know, should be involved before these other steps at an earlier stage. Maybe at site identification and development.
I think we are, John.
Maybe you need an arrow there.
It all depends. In many cases, there's not a cookie cutter. There's not one size in terms of how we go forward with the developments. In some cases, we're involved right from the start.
Correct.
They're thinking of purchasing this property. Maybe it does or does not have its approvals. In other cases, they're coming to us where they have the approvals, and they're saying, can you make it?
I just think that this needs to be shown to be more, because if I'm the monitor and I see this and I say, you have an obligation as a county to reach out, and you're not you're not, according to this, the county doesn't get involved until after site plan application has been submitted to the local municipality. I know that's not, you know, that's not what's happening.
I don't know what they mean by involved. In terms of discussions, Mary comes down, we could address that.
Okay.
But I do want to say, because I've been in, particularly when the municipalities are involved, I've been in the meeting, right. And I know most of the meetings because the conference room is right next to my office.
Right.
So there is no cookie cutter. It might be a developer comes forward and says, I have property in town X, can I meet with you? We meet with them. Yeah. When he lays it out, we talk about parameters, and then we say to them, the next step you have to take is go talk to the municipality, and then we'll bring both of you together here and try to work.
Okay.
Some instances, some of the municipalities, and we've been reaching out, they have come to us and they have said, we have either this property that we took in rem, or we have a project here where we have somebody, we would love to have somebody take this property and fix it up and put something here. And then the question is, okay, how do we match that to somebody who's a developer? And that's sort of part of what Mary's job is to try to reach out and say, okay, let's find somebody. Other instances, what happens, we have developers who are very well-intended but have absolutely zero experience with doing affordable housing.
Mm-hmm. And financing.
And once we start going through all this stuff, their eyes glaze over. And we have to delicately sometimes move them in a direction so that they bring somebody aboard who can...